to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
This station presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today, we salute you, Mr. Skin-Tight Speedo Wearer.
Mr. Skin-Tight Speedo Wearer.
Yes, we're sure that swimsuit style is all the rage on the beaches of Bulgaria. But here in North America, we prefer to keep our private parts private.
We can tell what your religion is.
Thank you, Mr. Skin-Tight Speedo Wearer, for when you come out of the surf, you alert the rest of us beachgoers as to just how frigid the water is.
Your party is now an innie.
Why would you want to accentuate shrinkage?
Someone hand that man a towel, yeah.
Your tacky trunks go by many names. Banana hammock, grape smuggler, torpedo tube, and man sock. But they all equally display the inadequacies of Mr. Skin-Tight Speedo Wearer, a real American hero.
Mr. Skin-Tight Speedo Wearer.
Close your eyes, kids. Here he comes again.
Get ready for the best morning show on any kind of radio. Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio, get ready for Sam and Kara in the morning. Give Sam and Kara a call at 323-203-0815. And now, here are your hosts, Sam and Kara.
Good morning and welcome to Thursday, November 4th. Hi, Kara.
Good morning,
You're looking
Sam.
A lot more awake than I do this morning, which
Sam
is unusual.
Sam is drugged up, people, and he gets to operate all this heavy equipment. This is not safe.
Yeah, oh, this Vicodin's killing me, man.
He said he came in, he looked like a zombie. He's like, hey, what's up?
Yeah, I've been having toothache after my implant, so I've been taking Vicodin here and there, and it makes me so friggin' tired I can't get up in the morning. So I do not recommend drugs under any circumstances if you want to live a normal life.
Well, what about, like, in your situation with pain situation?
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, you don't have much of a choice, you know. I mean, it's a kind of pain, like throbbing pain, where three Advil doesn't work, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so I take that. It does work, but it has that side effect, you know. Now, some people get addicted to that feeling. But to me, it's just, like, very tiring and stuff. Although it makes you feel, like, kind of peaceful, you know?
Really?
I don't know how to describe it, but sort of content. I don't know how to describe it. It's almost like, yeah, let me just sit back and enjoy it.
Hey, I heard, like, going and just staring at an ocean has the same effect.
Yeah, I know, but the ocean's far.
Yeah, it's farther. It's not as quick as, like, just taking a pill.
Yeah.
Wow.
So you dressed for the summer today, shoulders exposed and everything.
It's today it's officially November, people. It's sweltering hot out. I bought a hot coffee just to top it off, and I thought I'd go outside and just pour it on myself just to amp it up.
Yeah.
It was hot yesterday.
It was hot yesterday.
And we had to put the AC on in our house, which means we have one window unit that we all sleep underneath.
Really? Wow. It doesn't get around the house, the cold air?
No.
No, huh?
No.
Wow.
I sat back yesterday, you guys, and I just, you know how you have those moments where you just sit back and look at, like, the stage of your life that you're in, and you look at the people in your life, and you just kind of go, this is crazy ridiculous, and it's fun, and it's chaotic, but it's just, you know, and you know it's a path. You know when you know something's temporary, you feel it.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I'm living with my two girl roommates now, and we're just, it's just all of us in the house, and we're just running on top of each other, and there's one bathroom, and one's always on the toilet.
Yeah.
The other person's doing their makeup.
God,
or getting...
that's hard.
We just have so much fun, and I was just sitting there thinking today, or yesterday, I was like, this is ridiculous. Like, once somebody's going on audition, there's a costume somewhere. We've always got wheeling and dealing. I'm always trying to get my crap together. Sarah's trying to figure out how she's going to stay in the country because she's, you know, her visa's almost up, and, you know, it's just hysterical. I mean,
yeah,
and Claire's just nuts. It's just she's nuts, you know?
Yeah.
So we're having a good time, and I just stop and go, man, this is a really fun time, even though it's been not easy. It's a fun time, and I know it's not going to always be there, you know? You can feel it.
Yeah, exactly. Might as well enjoy it, you know? I mean, it does have an upside to it, you know, being around people, you know, having friends around you.
They're really, really good friends. You know, they say that friends are the family you choose. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for most people that do live in Los Angeles, that most people aren't from here, family isn't immediate. I mean, I've walked Runyon Canyon and been around town, and I've overheard people's conversations just randomly about, I don't have any family around here, or this, that, and the other. I've heard a lot of people say that,
right,
because it's everyone's story.
Mm-hmm.
And so people really have to carve out friendships and make families, and the holidays are coming up, and, you know.
Yeah.
It's so funny because the three girls, two of us, myself and Claire, were going to move out. Like, I'd packed up my car. It's still packed, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Claire had put a deposit down on her own apartment, and we were just going to all go our separate ways for now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was going to go to Texas. And
That was part of it.
And then Claire was going to move out to an apartment just one street over to do her own thing.
Right.
Well, then it's funny, we both moved back in.
Yeah.
Like, that's all. And the thing is like, it's the holidays around the corner, and it's like, this is family. This is, you know,
because I'm
probably not going home for Christmas. So.
Right. And it might be kind of lonely for you to get your own apartment, huh?
I mean, everything's got its ups and downs. I'm very relational, and I think God makes us relational as people. Like, I think people thrive in communities, even though it's not easy sometimes, because you have to have more patience and more compromise, and you have to be more flexible and less about yourself, because it takes a lot, but it's highly rewarding. I mean, you have people that listen to you. You have people that are there for you. You have people that are concerned for you. And there's that like kind of buffer that.
I mean, you can go crazy. You know, it's like, you know, my wife's away and sometimes I'm just left without anybody to talk to. You know, it's kind of weird.
Call me up, Sam. We'll take you
Call you up. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we tried to connect a couple times. It just doesn't work, you know?
No, that's just a one time. Do you know how many times that happens with everybody? Don't let that get you down.
Okay.
I have groups of friends, and there's some friends like, so my birthday's coming up, and I was going to do just a small.
Yeah, I realized that. I saw that on Facebook the other day, and I thought, you know, I don't know why I looked at your birthday, and I thought, oh, November. What is it, the 16th or something?
It's the 14th.
Oh, the 14th.
And I normally have like a huge blowout party, and it gets crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought, you know, this year I just want to do close friends that I haven't seen in a while and just sit around and have, you know, food at my house. At my house, something local.
Yeah, yeah.
And anyway, so these pockets of my friends that I don't see very often, like half of them can't come. One's in Peru. He's going to Peru tomorrow. The other one has a roller derby game that she's doing. She's now a roller derby girl.
Really?
Yeah, and I just...
They still have that?
Yeah, she's really kicking ass, man. I've got to go see one of her shows. I haven't been out yet. And I just have all these friends that are like, they're doing their own thing, and they're really got a lot going on. So it's one of those things where, you know, I don't let it get me down, because I know that I'm gonna tackle their little ass at one point, and I'm gonna be like, we're going to lunch.
Yeah.
And it's on you.
But you gotta be pretty persistent, you know?
There's some friends that, you know, you gotta realize, are they worth the effort to pursue their friendship?
Right.
That means, I mean, everybody's worth something. Everybody's special. But what I'm saying is, are these friends that, you know, they're legitimately
It's gotta be reciprocal, you know?
Yeah, are they legitimately tied up? Because these are solid people. Like, I know that they're there for me when I really, really need them. So, you know what I mean? And I just love and adore these people. So that's so cool. So that's kind of, but my thing is, you don't let it get you down when people are like, oh, I'm busy, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Just treat them like a telemarketer.
No, it's not about being busy. It's about being late, you know, or going to Dives for karaoke. But no, I mean, the intention was good.
Yeah, the karaoke was fun though, wasn't it? We had a good time.
Yeah, it was okay.
You know, well, I mean,
I wouldn't go there again, I don't think.
It was last night. I was going to go again.
Oh, you didn't go last night?
I didn't go. I was too tired. Yeah. I went home. And then Sarah's blowing my phone up. Hey, we got free pizza. Where are you? She's like, where are you guys? Free pizza's here.
Oh,
some
wow.
Guy bought free pizza.
Really?
Yeah, that's how we work. That's how these girls operate. We're like, free pizza, yeah.
Where, at the club?
At the Oyster Bar.
At the Oyster Bar? Uh-huh. They bought you a pizza?
They brought this guy bought Sarah and all these people there a pizza.
Oh, really?
A big pizza and drinks. She's like, where are you guys?
Oh, wow.
It's really funny, though. No, but don't let it get you down, man. And friendship is, it's sometimes, especially in this town, a lot of people, they don't prioritize friends.
Right.
Or relationships. Uh-huh. So what happens is it's all about them and their career and their next step. But then when that stuff doesn't happen, or the bottom falls out, or they're wore out and exhausted, then they're like, oh, where are my friends? And then they haven't cultivated or invested in people.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
It's a real backwards way of thinking. It's like, it's a very self-centered kind of way of thinking. And then you want people there and there's no one there.
Yeah. Oh, well, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when's your next performance?
I've got a few things lined up, but...
You have that Killer Women or something?
Yeah, it's called Women Who Kill. It's on November 17th at the Hollywood Improv. I believe you can go to the Hollywood Improv and purchase tickets now, but I'll update you guys.
Yeah. I'm going to have to go to one of your shows.
You're going to have to go.
Eventually.
Well, and the thing is about the show is that, you know, like I said, Lisa Sunset puts on a great lineup of comics. So it's something you know you're going to get a full... you know, show of amazing, fun women.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not every show's like that. Some shows are like hit and miss, you know, and then some shows are like, whoa.
Yeah.
So glad to be a part of this show. Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
you'll
that's
like
cool.
It.
Yeah.
You'll really, really like it. You'll really like it. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, I'll have to check it out.
Yeah.
I talked to my wife and we decided we need to go out more.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, I'll help you guys out with that.
So maybe we'll start going out to comedy clubs and stuff. Although she's not crazy about that. But maybe music
I think
venues,
she'll like
you know?
This. I think she'll like this. Because the one you guys went to that was at the, what was it called? The one we all went to that was kind of a bust. Remember the one with the marquee?
Yeah, that didn't count.
Yeah, that was not. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that wasn't hit.
These guys are gone. Long gone.
Are they not even here anymore?
No, they're not here
really?
Anymore. Yeah.
Oh, that's a bummer.
The show sucked, man. I'm not ashamed to say that.
Oh, really?
They sucked even more, yeah.
What do you mean, what sucked? Their on-air show or the live show they did?
Both.
The on-air show sucked?
Yeah, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Those are people that think they have a great show, but obviously I'm bitter about them.
Why are you bitter?
Because they ended up being very ungrateful, son of a bitches. Do you know that they actually charged me to get in at that party after I fucking sponsored that fucking party? Or
are you
part of it?
Me?
No. That's the kind of people they are.
So wait a minute. Wait a minute. I thought you told me you didn't pay anything for that party. Did you put money into that party?
Yeah. We gave them like a couple $100.
No.
Yeah,
Sam, give your money next time to a good cause.
I know.
I'll take care of that
for
you, okay?
I know.
It's called the
I'm too nice. I can't say no, you know, when people ask me for things.
They put... Okay, so you put money into this and then they... Was it the girl that charged you?
Well, the guy was there too. The girl is his... fiance, and she knows me.
Oh, no.
But
you
no,
say,
the
sorry.
Guy was there, and she asked him. She said, should we charge them? And he goes, yeah. And I just paid. I didn't argue, you know? I mean, I'm just like... But it really hit me as
That is
disgusting.
So tacky. And then they left LA Talk Radio?
Yeah.
Because they couldn't afford it, or because you kicked them out, or what?
No, it's just it's a long story. I don't want to talk about
okay.
it. It's sufficient to say that I can't stand them, and I always thought their show sucked, so good riddance,
oh,
you know?
Oh, man.
And
well,
I never
I
say
like,
that about anybody.
Honestly,
you know?
I showed up, and I did the whole, hi, I'm Kara with Sam and Kara in the morning.
Yeah.
Do you know who I am? No, I didn't do that. I was like, oh, I'm Kara with Sam and Kara in the morning, and LA Talk, I'm part of LA Talk Radio.
Uh-huh.
And they charged me, too.
Really?
And I was like, okay. And I thought, well, maybe they're just, I thought maybe they were just using the name, and you didn't.
No, they had to charge us because nobody was there, fuck, you know? I mean, they had to get some money from us.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Can you imagine planning like a big party and nobody shows up, like 10 people? It's pretty lousy.
It was unfortunate. I mean, you know, it wasn't well promoted, I guess. I don't know.
It's because nobody cares about them. You know, they think they're hot shit.
Oh, man. You know, it takes a lot of work, but Ethan did a great job.
Yeah. Ethan did an amazing
job.
Ethan
with Combat Radio. He packed it.
Yeah.
He has a lot of faithful followers.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people wearing raccoon hats.
Yeah, yeah.
So what was
they
that?
He's got like 12,000 fans on Facebook on his.
No, he's got a really great following, and everybody really showed up for his thing. I was still, I mean, you know, I showed up late because I thought it was sort of 8.
Right.
So I missed the fun red carpet part, and then I got there and there was like an acoustic set going on.
Right.
And I was like, oh, this is weird because you can't really talk to anybody.
No, that was the performance part wasn't that great because, excuse me, you can't really socialize. You know?
So what happened the rest of the night? I mean, oh, you didn't stay either, did you? No, you did stay.
Where? At the
Combat Radio, at the John Lovitz.
At the John Lovitz thing. No, we stayed till about 11 or so.
So what happened? I mean, what else went on?
There was just dancing and, you know, and food and that. But that was it, you know, just the performance of a band. They had another band or two. And, that was it. But it was just, you know.
Yeah, but I mean, but nonetheless, I mean, my point is he did a great job at getting people out.
Yeah.
You know, he did a really good job.
Yeah.
It's work. I mean, this town is work getting people out. People are oversaturated with things to do.
That's true. There are a lot of things to do when you think about it.
Do you know what I mean, my event page, one of the things I get invited to, mm-hmm. it's like, if I lived in a smaller town, I'd actually look at these things and go, oh, let's go to this. But when you're constantly having somebody see my show, you know what I mean?
There's so many.
That's why, I mean, the amount of shows I do to the amount of shows I invite people is very small because yeah. I don't want to, you can't keep bringing everyone you know out to see
yeah.
stuff. Yeah. You're like, hey, you're like, we get it. You're funny. Shit. Leave us alone.
Yeah.
You know? But,
and that's it. And you're also responsible to bring audience, right?
It depends on the show that you do. If you do a bringer show, you have to bring out people. But, you know, it depends. I don't really do bringer shows anymore unless it's like something I think a lot of people would really like, and that it's also something that's kind of more of a showcase.
Yeah.
But like the one at the Improv isn't a bringer.
No.
No. But I still want people to come out because it's going to be a great show.
Mm. Sounds like it.
Yeah, it's going to be. It's a really great show. I heard about it before I was booked in it. It's a really good show. A lot of friends of mine have seen it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're coming.
Okay.
I keep drinking this coffee and it keeps falling on me.
Yeah.
So
Did you hear that an engine cover fell off a plane? A Qantas plane that was flying that had to make an emergency landing. The cover of the engine fucking fell off during flight. Isn't that
I don't
scary?
Like hearing stuff like that or yeah. people getting trapped in elevators. It's the same feeling.
Really?
It's the feeling of, you know, people give you the statistics.
But elevator, you still have a chance to get out, you know, when a plane lands or
listen,
or falls off the sky, forget about it.
Listen. They tell you the statistics, you're more likely to, you know, get in a car crash. And But planes, you know, you're more likely, if you're in a car crash, you could survive. Versus if you're in a plane crash, it's probably not going to happen.
Right.
Which, whatever. Maybe it's your time to go. But hearing stuff like that, and then hearing stuff like people getting stuck in elevators, which today was like the first time I took the elevator.
And really?
Yeah.
So you're kind of afraid to get stuck? Is that why you don't take it?
It's just like, why chance it when I can, you know, get a couple of stairs in today?
Right,
you know,
yeah.
Let's take the stairs and let's, you know,
it's true.
Let's work out the quads. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, you know, that's getting stuck in there.
Yeah. But in some buildings, you don't have a choice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true. You just got to pray.
When we were downtown on the 36th floor, man, you would have died, huh?
You said you got stuck then, right?
Yeah, I got stuck there one time.
Gosh.
But that's a long ride up to the 36th floor. You know? You definitely can't take the stairs.
Mm-mm. Yeah, no, that's true. That's true. But no, I just think about like sitting there looking at the wall. Maybe my coffee would kick in. That would be awful. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, nervous.
It's not the end of the world. You know, I mean, if you're not like in a lonely building on the weekend where there's nobody there, you're fine.
Wasn't that what happened to you? You were there on the weekend or something?
Yeah, it was the weekend, but there were people in the building, the security.
Good. Yeah. Can you imagine if the lights went out?
Oh, wow.
And you're just in there?
Yeah.
I would probably start to rock back and forth and probably use up all the oxygen in the it would be really bad.
Yeah.
It'd be really, really bad. But no, the same thing with flying. Like flying, I've started, you know, the more you fly, I think the more you get used to it and start to kind of not stress out as much. But there's always that like...
Yeah.
In the back of my mind.
I don't know. To me, it's happening the other way. It seems like as I get older, I get more scared of these things.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Of flying?
Yeah.
Because
I used to love flying. I mean, I flew myself, you know? Remember I told you a couple stories when I learned to fly? And I still love it. It's just, it scares me now. You know,
really?
The turbulence and stuff. It's like, I don't know why. I don't know why. But the same thing is with roller coasters. I don't enjoy them as much as I used to anymore.
Yeah, I'm not as big into roller coasters.
Yeah.
You know, I've got a pretty crazy personality. I live life on the edge. I don't need to go on a roller coaster.
No.
I think some people, maybe it's more like, oh, you know, I need to...
You don't think it's fun? It's a great sensation.
You know, I don't hate them. I could probably handle one. I think my last roller coaster experience, I closed my eyes, and I think it made it worse.
Yeah.
And it made me more afraid because I think you're like, and your eyes are closed and you're right. Like going to almost throw up on yourself because I think it throws you off like your equilibrium with your eyes closed. And
oh,
stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was worse and it made my stomach upset and I was like, I can't do this. Yeah, no.
Yeah.
I think I could pass on and that.
It's been a while since I've been to a theme park.
Yeah, well, you know.
Yeah.
If you're going to go on like a Tuesday.
A Tuesday?
You don't want to wait in lines.
Oh, yeah, yeah, the lines. That's definitely
would you go to a theme
out of the
park?
Question. I have before, but now I wouldn't, you know. I mean, I did when my kids were little, and they loved going there. But no, I'm not going to go there now without anybody. What the hell am I going to do there? Yeah, but still, I mean, you know, it's for young people.
Uh-huh.
We're getting up there.
So funny. A friend of mine said, he's like, you know, people say life is short. He's like, but I think it's long. He's like, every morning I just keep waking up.
Yeah.
It was really depressing and sad.
Yeah.
So are you kidding me? I just keep waking up. It just keeps happening. I keep waking up.
Yeah.
I think that's hysterical, but it was sad, though, too.
Yeah.
It was really, really sad.
I know. What do you think? We have a host who, her name's Rebecca, and she lost her daughter the other day, 17-year-old daughter. And, I mean, how devastating it is, right? So she insisted on doing her show last night, and, you know, she's got a call-in show. She's a psychic or whatever. Uh-huh. And, she was a mess. She was a mess. You know, she was crying the whole time and stuff. And it's hard to listen to, you know, but I salute her for what she wanted to do is get people to pray and, you know,
yeah.
And sort of like get, you know, get in touch with, I guess she needed, it was sort of cathartic for her,
uh-huh.
You know, because someone wondered why is she doing a show at a time like this. But, you know, I really think it helped her let some things out, you know.
Oh, my gosh.
But, yeah, how devastating. You know, it's so terrible.
How did your daughter die?
And I don't know if she wants me to say it, so
okay,
I won't discuss it. Yeah.
Okay.
But it's the crazy things that teens do.
Okay.
You know, and my son knew her also, which
really?
Is like makes it a small world.
Uh huh.
And yeah, she's gone. So.
They say that
our
like
condolences to Rebecca.
Absolutely. They say losing a child is probably the most devastating.
The worst thing. I mean, I can't imagine how you can go on.
Really?
Yeah. I can't imagine how you can go on. You know, you raise these kids for years and they die before you do. You know? It's pretty depressing stuff.
That's awful.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, we have to deal with these things, you know. There's no answers, there's no explanations. These things just happen.
Mm.
You know, everybody's got their time when they go.
Yeah.
And,
that's sad. I'm sorry. That's a really sad story.
I know. Mm. So our condolences go to Rebecca. I'm sure she's not listening, but just for the sake of feeling we're with her in a certain way.
Mm. It's tough.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, life has to go on. I mean, you can't get stuck behind. You know, it will kill you.
Mm.
You know, you've got to move on. I think that's what the deceased person would want you to do.
Yeah.
Is to go on with your life and not be not be stuck somewhere, you know. But, I mean, we have someone in the family that lost a kid also. When he was 15 or something. And they've never been the same again.
Oh, seriously?
Yeah. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
How many years has that been?
It's a long time. But, you know, I mean, of course, it's not the same pain as it was, but... You still have to let time run its course, you know.
Have
but
you guys
it never
like
goes
tried
away.
To talk to this person and help them, or?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you know, it was in my ex-wife's family.
Oh,
but,
really?
Yeah, but I mean, I don't remember what we did. But what do you do? Yeah, what do you say to someone?
I mean, I don't
There's
know.
Not much
I mean,
to
I just,
say.
I mean, I think if it's been years, you know, encourage them to get out there and live life.
Oh no, yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Do stuff with them, help, you know, help them reintroduce them to.
Yeah.
You
well,
know.
The father's dealt much better with it than the mother.
Mm.
Yeah.
Wow.
Made
you know, I've never had kids, but I've watched movies or things where I've seen, or I've even just watched people and their kids, and I imagine, again, I've never had kids, but like, what it would be like to. Give birth to a kid that is came from you and your husband or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And now you're like responsible and that kid like depends on you for everything. And then like their hopes and their fears become your hopes and your fears and you want to protect them of everything. And that when I think about that process of how like I feel like it would like destroy me.
Really?
I don't mean that necessarily in a bad way. I mean that like in a way of it would be so much just... You want to love them, you want to protect them, you want to take care of them, you don't want to worry, all this stuff. I feel like it's probably such an overwhelming kind of like emotion to have children. And then if you did lose one, I mean, it's like losing part of you. It's like losing.
Yeah, it's unspeakable. You know, it's unthinkable. And people go through that. You know, in fact, we had another host. His name is Guy. And he was, I think he was at the party when you went, but you probably didn't know him. And he lost his son, 20-year-old son, about a month ago.
The Goodwill thing?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
you told us about
that. Yeah, I remember. And how do you go on like this?
Yeah.
You know, it scares me. It really scares me, you know. But I know my kids are responsible. You know, I spoke to them yesterday, and my son reassured me, you know, I don't do crazy shit. So, you know, but you never know, you know. I mean, my daughter was in a car accident. Thank goodness nothing happened to her about a few weeks ago.
She was?
Yeah, and it was pretty serious. The car was totaled.
Oh, wow.
But she came out okay without a scratch.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So that's scary, you know, and she's a new driver, too, so.
Was she driving?
Yeah, she was driving.
Oh, crap.
Yeah.
Does she have to get a new car?
Yeah.
Who, does that mean you're getting it?
Well, we got it for her. The insurance paid for it.
Oh, good, good, good.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Did she, was it her fault?
Yeah.
Crap.
I know.
There's no way out of this one. She's like, yeah,
no,
new driver.
No way out of that.
She totaled,
you know,
her car. Okay.
Yeah, but thank goodness she came out okay.
Yeah.
She said if she had been sitting on the passenger side, she would have been hurt badly.
Oh, my gosh.
If it was the same kind of damage, you know?
My dad, one time, well, I was with a bunch of girls when I was on swim team in high school, and, like, I was sitting in the middle, the back of the middle seat. I didn't have a seatbelt on.
Mm-hmm.
And my two friends were in the front, and we weren't going very far, and we weren't going fast, but we came to a stoplight, and I was talking to them. And she put the brakes on fast for something. And I flew from the back seat to the front seat.
Wow.
And my face, like, ate the CD player in the front.
Oh, my
and,
God.
And then my shirt, like, came up almost over my head and my friend. We were all, like, laughing, but it was, like, really. And I was bleeding.
Really?
Yeah, I was bleeding a little bit. And, like, my nose and my lips swell up. And we were kind of crazy. We were just, like, laughing still because it was really, it was really funny. But it wasn't funny. And my shit had a seatbelt on. And we took pictures for fun, like, for insurance claims, you know? But there's nobody to do an insurance claim on. We were just doing it for fun.
Yeah.
Anyway, I told my dad. My dad got so pissed.
Really?
He's like, you should wear a seatbelt.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah.
I know a lot of people don't wear them in the back seat, which is wrong.
Yeah, no. I mean, I wear seatbelts now, but I'm just saying. Yeah. I kind of wanted him to go, hey, is your face okay?
Yeah.
He's like, just wear a seatbelt. Dads are weird. My dad was so weird growing up. My brother ran me over with a golf cart.
Really?
I mean, it just was a little rough growing up. So my aunt had a really big yard, and she had a golf cart. And it's not a four-wheeler. Okay, it's a golf cart, right?
Right.
And my brother and I are getting to drive it. And my aunt's not home. We're driving it through the yard. And my brother Matthew's like, hey, Carol, watch how fast you go around the trees. I'm like, Matthew, it's not a freaking four-wheeler. Relax. Just take it easy. It's a freaking golf cart. He's like, oh, it's going to be fine. It's going to be fine. Anyway, he peels one around a tree, and the thing goes, it's like slow motion, tip, and he jumps off the golf cart. And he's a big chunker at this point. He's a big tubby. He jumps off and runs, and I'm on the top part that's flipping over. And I fall down to the ground, and the golf cart lands on my leg.
Wow.
And it's, like, so heavy.
Wow.
After I'm the one that told him not to, like, take it around the curve, you
right.
know? I'm screaming.
But what were you doing sitting on top of it?
No. We were sitting in it, but it tipped over.
Oh, you were sitting in it.
Yeah, okay. We're sitting over. He went too fast around a tree, so it tipped over.
Right.
And he was closer to the ground, and he jumped out and got out of the way.
Right.
And I was the part that was, like, flying in the air.
Right.
I caught a bunch of air.
Right.
And then I fell down on the ground,
right.
you know, and then the golf cart landed on my leg.
Wow, how terrible.
And this thing's, like, hundreds of pounds, right?
Yeah.
And I'm like,
and you didn't break your leg or anything?
No, it didn't break my leg. But
really?
What it did was it landed on a part of my muscle on my calf. So, like, I got up and I was like screaming, and my leg literally looked like if it's going down straight, and then all of a sudden, boom, all the way in, and then pops right out.
Wow.
It was like a bar landed to where it, it's now I had like this, it was like the muscle and the fat and everything was like squished to the bone.
Wow.
So it looked like one big dent. And I'm like, I'm screaming and I'm like freaking out. My leg is on fire. It hurts so bad.
Yeah.
My brother's like, don't tell dad. Don't tell dad. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Don't tell dad. I'm like, you're an asshole. He's like, don't tell dad. And then my dad runs out. He's like, what's going on? I'm like, dad, Matt ran me over the golf cart. Look at my leg. And then my dad's mad at me.
Yeah.
And he's like, look at the tracks you guys made in the yard. I'm like, my leg is, look, this isn't natural.
Yeah.
I was pissed because he didn't care.
Yeah.
He cared about the tracks.
Which reminds me, I mean, yesterday it was funny because, you know, on my street, I told you there's a fire hydrant and there's no red zone marked there. So people park there all the time and they get tickets and they tow them away also. So there's always like a tow truck there blocking the street.
It's a trap.
Yeah, it's a fucking trap. That's what it is, exactly.
Yeah, it's a trap.
And, yeah, and I always sit there and someone parks there and I'm going, oh, well, you know, you're going to come back. Your car's not going to be here. So yesterday, so, you know, and the tow truck has to stand to park like diagonally so they can pull the car out. And so he usually blocks the street. So this guy's like stuck there waiting for him to move the truck and he's not moving it, right? Before you know it, the guy fucking drives on the sidewalk. He pulls up on the sidewalk, drives on the grass, and pulls out from the other driveway.
Dude, that's, you know, L.A. for you.
That's L.A. for you.
No, people will get crunk.
I mean, I can't fucking believe what he did, you know, instead of turning around and shit. Because, yeah, I mean, God, I mean, is that, like, dangerous or what?
Is that the
car? I'm, like, looking down and I'm seeing a car driving on the fucking sidewalk.
And this is the car that's just trying to get out of his own driveway, right?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. No,
no, he wasn't trying to get out of his own driveway. This guy was on the street. He was just blocked by the truck and he couldn't get through. So instead of doing a U-turn, he just turned left into a driveway, drove on the sidewalk, and then came out of another driveway.
That's hysterical.
Yeah.
No, that's L.A.
Yeah.
It is L.A., man.
And he did it fast, too, you know? I mean, it's not like he just kind of drove slowly.
Now, why? And now, if you can see these cars when people are starting to park, do you ever yell out?
No.
No? Just
no,
let
I
them
don't.
Know.
What is it? My job?
I don't know. I would like. I saw a car one time about
but
to
I
get
see it
towed.
All day. What am I going to, like... I'm not the fucking traffic cop there.
No, I know, but maybe put up a sign or yell, hey, assholes, your car's going to get towed.
Yeah, well, it's not my place to do, to put up signs.
They'll be
what
grateful.
The
They'll
yeah.
be thankful that you did.
But, you know, I want to ask those fucking parking attendants, or not attendants, but...
Yeah, the cops, the parking meter maids.
Yeah,
meter
enforcement,
maids.
Whatever.
Yeah.
And, because they're always at Poquito Mas up here,
oh,
and
yeah?
I always see them. So I want to walk up to them and say, what the fuck? Why don't you guys... Paint this red if it's really so important for you that people don't park there.
No, it's a trap, man.
It is
it's
a trap.
It's unapologetically a trap.
It is.
Now, I got to tell you, I've had a lot of grace from some meter people. And not just meters, but the what are they called? The parking
yeah.
people, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, they have been so graceful to me. And I've seen, I was on Los Feliz Boulevard and I was going on a run. And this girl's car was stopped. And she did not see the sign that it tows away at 4 o'clock.
Right.
So the parking guy that, you know, is calling the tow truck and I'm just like, your car's going to get towed. Car's going to get towed. So I'm like running around this apartment building. I'm like, a car's going to get towed. And like four people come out. Anyway, they're like, whose car? They're like, oh, that's so-and-so's girlfriend. Let's go find her. And this other guy's knocking on windows and stuff. Mm. I mean, it became a community effort to find this girl. You know, she didn't yeah. look, she had a beater kind of car. It didn't look like she had money. Like, when they tow your car, it's like, you better have some cash at the bank.
Oh, yeah. I got to tell you, because they got to the car before they towed it away.
Mm-hmm.
They had to pay the guy $250.
To unlatch it?
To unlatch it.
Oh, man. And I bet you that wasn't legal. I bet you that wasn't legal.
What? To
because,
take the money? I think once he loads it up, you have to pay for it to get it out. Doesn't matter if he takes it to the yard or not.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because he.
Yeah, it's like 200 and something bucks, and then every day it sits there, it's like 100 something dollars.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So it sucks. So we were just running around trying to find this girl, and she ran out, and she's like, "Thank you so much, thank you so much." And she I mean, we held the tow truck guy, and we held the meter dude off for like 15 minutes.
Really?
Yeah, and this girl came out, but they were really nice.
Yeah.
They were like, look, just, you know, we have a bad rap, guys. Just let people know we're on your side. We're not trying to, you know, I think they have a job to do that's stupid.
They're not on our side, though.
No, I mean, I think there's a lot of people that, you know, they're not trying. They just have to do their job, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't think they're trying to make it harder on people, but I think that the laws are such that make it hard.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
know what I mean?
But some of them are, like, they're cut out to do those kind of jobs.
Yeah, there
you know?
Are some.
There's this, like, chick, and she looks like a guy. She's so, like, butch lesbian.
Okay.
That you can tell she's just like a guy, and she looks mean. She looks mean.
You look mean. You look so mean.
Yeah.
Well, what if it's just her look?
I don't think so, man. I don't think so.
You
she
think
looks
she
like she
it?
Wants to get in trouble.
I really don't get the whole don't paint the curb red if for the fire yeah. hydrants. That's just stupid to me. That's just so mean.
But it's not stupid. That's what I'm saying. I think it's by design.
No, it is by design. It's unapologetically
a trap. It's not like they don't know about it. You know, I mean, it's such a source of income for them.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they give you a ticket and later they tow you away.
Mm.
So you have to pay the ticket and the towing.
Mm. I heard, and I don't know if this is true, but because I got out of this guy towing my car when I had, like, remember when I had 8 tickets?
Yeah, I remember that.
Crap. And I'm on the phone, and I'm like, I'll pay some of them right now. I'll pay them. He's like, you got to get it down to 5. I was like, shit, okay. And I, like, racked it up on my bank account, like, went overdrawn to pay these things so uh-huh. that my car wouldn't get towed. And then I told him I paid 3 of them. I really only paid 2.
Right.
Let's try to buy some time. He was really cool, though. He really did help me out a lot. And anyway, the tow truck sitting right there. Like, the tow truck was, like, ready. And I was like, ah! And he had told me that if they're not – I don't know if this is not in Los Angeles because it's my – I don't know how this works. You know, there's City of Burbank. There's all these different little sub-cities. Mm-hmm. I don't know if this is true, but I think that if a meter parking person – or not a meter, but you know what I'm saying, parking violation.
Right.
It's actually a privatized company that is employed or contracted through the government, through the city.
You think so?
I think so. And that they're not necessarily city employees. They're separate. It's not the DMV people. It's a separate company.
Yeah.
So he said you could have gotten your car and drove off and we couldn't have done anything.
Really? Yeah.
But I don't want to test it because if I find another police around the corner, woo-woo! You know, and I don't want to go to jail for, like,
yeah, know. Don't get in trouble.
No, I'm not. I mean, I'm working
for such
on
such small things.
Yeah, but I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Kind of crazy though. But they also have these machines that go down that are attached to the cars so that when they drive down the streets, they're reading license plates and they could see who's got outstanding tickets.
Yeah, yeah.
Stuff like that.
Yeah, I was just reading about that.
Very 1984 people.
Yeah.
It's a very much surveillance society.
Yeah, it's funny because I was just reading about it yesterday
about
police cars that they have that ability to automatically scan license plates and shit. That's pretty
cool,
but
they'll send cars that aren't marked down streets, and then they'll nab you.
Yeah.
It's kind of a seedy business. I'm like, how much is this about, like, really, you know, making sure that, you know, cars are safe and people are safe and everything's smooth? This is like, it's like almost mafioso.
Yeah, it is. It's their cash cow, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's money they can count on every day. And they go out and they do it, you know? It's not because they're mean or anything. It's just a source of income and, you know, and they just wait for you to fuck up.
Yeah, I think the whole smog thing, though, is ridiculous. I think that this is kind of like, you know, I'm at the point, you know, I'm re-registering my car right now, and they send you to, if your car is certain age, they send it to a test-only facility where they can't do repairs because it's supposed to protect the consumer from them trying to tell you shit's wrong.
Right.
But they also send you to these higher-priced places. So
I
if you
see.
Just needed to get a smog check, it's like, you know, 30-something bucks or 20-something
right,
bucks.
But
if you go to a test-only facility, it's like 60 upward.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow, I didn't realize that.
Yeah, it's like 60 upward. You can talk – some of them you can talk them down to 50, but usually it's even upward.
Yeah.
Because if it doesn't yeah, it's kind of a raw deal. And then, I'm like, man, this is just such a business, you know, and it's a million steps just to do something, and you have to do it every few years. And I know there are people that live in different states. It's not like that. And, different countries, it's not like that. And I'm like, this is just, ugh.
I know. When cops waste their time, you know, when you don't have a front license plate. This happened to me a couple times.
Oh, really?
When I had my Beamer, I put, like, you know, BMW plate on the front.
Uh-huh.
And twice I got pulled over.
For not having a front license plate?
Yeah, for not having a front license plate. And because it used to be permissible, you know. It's just only recently that they required this. Well, it's not that recent, but I remember a time when you didn't have to.
Mm.
Yeah.
Man.
So, yeah, they waste their time on a lot of shit that's not important. And it really irritates me, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because we don't have enough cops as it is.
And I know people that are cops that will say, hey, if they're off duty or if they're in a part of town that's not their jurisdiction and they witness a crime scene or something,
right,
they won't get involved.
Oh, really?
Because of the liability and insurance.
Really?
Yeah. So that they'll like, maybe that's not every person, but there's a lot of cops that, you know, it's really backwards where it's, I'm not saying it's the cops, but it's like the red tape, the bureaucracy and everything and the lawsuits.
Right.
They won't get involved in something like that. They'll just drive on or maybe call it in or something.
They can't get involved as a private person?
No,
something?
It's not that they can't get involved. A lot of them choose not to because there's a lot of lawsuits and there's a lot of red tape and things like that.
Right. Yeah, that's why they tell you, you know, if someone falls in the street, you shouldn't do anything, you know, because he'll turn around and sue you for doing something that you weren't supposed to do. It does happen, you know.
Ungrateful.
Like if you're not, yeah, but you know, if you're not supposed to move the person and you do and it causes damage and shit, yeah, you know. So that's why it's hard to be a good Samaritan these days.
It's so backwards. You know, it's called, when I was doing lifeguarding, it's called life before limb.
Yeah.
So it is. It's life before limb. It's like, you know, if you hurt somebody, I mean, obviously you don't want to hurt them or hurt their head or anything like that, but it's if you'd rather make sure they're breathing and they're alive and that they you know are fine versus you know letting them sit there and you don't want, you know what I mean, and then they die because you didn't want to hurt, you know, their neck or something.
Yeah, but I don't think you can be held liable if you didn't help or anything, right?
I don't know. I mean, there's a law with CPR. If you're CPR certified and you start CPR on somebody, you cannot stop until somebody comes.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Wow. Like legally you can't stop.
Yeah.
If you start to resuscitate them.
Right.
Yeah.
But I can't imagine you'd be required to help someone.
I don't know. I mean, maybe to report it, you know. I mean, you probably have to, if you're a witness, you probably are liable to have to, like, report it or something or call for help. I mean, maybe you can't, you know, do it, but...
That'd be interesting if that's the case. Because, you know, why would you want to be bothered for crying out loud? You know? And what about all the people that pass by and don't do anything? They're going to arrest all of them? I don't think so.
I don't know. It's weird. I saw a guy one time passed out, and this is in Venice. He was passed out on the sidewalk, and there was another guy standing over him, and they were both homeless, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And I walked by. I was like, is he okay? And he goes, oh, he's fine. He's fine. I just think he drank too much. I said, are you sure? And the guy's tongue was all purple and swollen. And like,
wow.
It's not funny, though.
Yeah.
Like, purple and swollen. And anyway, he had stuff on his face, and I was like, it looks like he's not, it didn't look like he was breathing. And so anyway, I called 911, and I called 911, and then, you know, they told me like how to help him. You know, I his tongue was blocking his passageway. So I got a pin to like kind of open up his mouth a bit, and then started to like do compressions.
See, I wouldn't want to get involved in all that, you know.
Well, it's a human.
I mean, you can do something wrong, though. Yeah.
No, so I put a pin in his mouth to open it up, and then I tried to, and then I started doing compressions, and then the ambulance came. But there was a crowd of people now watching because there's this girl helping somebody, right? And I'm like, it was traumatic. I mean, the guy died. It was like, you know, the whole time I was there, he's like dying. You know, it was actually very emotional. I started crying. It was like awful. It was like total.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, it's one of these things where you're like, this is a human, this is a me and you, this is just a person right now, and they're dying, and you're like, oh, I've never witnessed somebody dying, you know what I mean? And been there when they're dying, and people were standing by, and then afterwards, like, somebody was like, yeah, I was a nurse, but, you know, usually when their tongue swells like that, that means they're on their last few minutes of life. That they're probably not going to live. And I'm thinking, why the fuck didn't you just jump in and help me?
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, why didn't somebody help me? Like, if you know what to do, like, why didn't you jump in and help? But it's because he's a dirty human, I guess, because he's a quote unquote a homeless guy.
Right.
Nobody wanted to help him. And I'm like, it doesn't matter. Like, we're all humans. We are all people.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
You're really, believe it or not, you are really no better than the person that's homeless. You are no better as a human. You are not.
Mm-hmm.
You may have a better situation. You may have a better head on your shoulders. You may have better, you know, circumstances or whatever. But you're really not a better soul. You're not a better person, you know? And I just feel like it was more grotesque to see how much, as a society, like, we didn't care. You know what I mean? And that made me, like, really feel bad for him. Made me feel bad for the guy. Made me feel bad about myself. Made me feel bad for the people standing there. It was awful, you know what I mean?
It seems like in this town, a lot of people avoid other people. You know, it seems like everybody's involved with their own shit and stuff.
Yeah, but like,
you know?
When it's a life and death situation, this guy's dying and everybody's just watching and nobody cares. I was like, what? This just weird. And anyway, the other homeless guy walked away, and he was sitting on a bench. Anyway, I followed him because I wanted to find out the guy's name and stuff. And we were talking for a second, and he's like, "Look, lady, people don't care." He's like, "People don't care about people on the streets." He's like, "We're just trash. You know, people just see us as trash."
Yeah.
He's like, "I was hit by a car the other day, and the lady drove on."
Really?
Yeah, he was hit by a car, and he rolled, and he said, you know, and he's like, "Yeah, I felt like God woke me up because I was just laying there in the street, and something woke me up, and I got up." And you know, and he was just like, you know, I don't know the man's story. I don't know how he got there, you know. And he said something really profound to me. He said, "People don't want to help people out that are on the street. It's like if I want to, like, sweep their garage or I want to mow their lawn to make money, they don't want to help us out because they think we lie, cheat, and steal." He goes, "Who doesn't lie, cheat, and steal?"
Yeah.
And I thought, you know, that's pretty, like, profound. I mean, just because some people have money and they do it a different way, there's a lot of people that lie, they cheat, and they steal still,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah. You know that I got to tell you, I'm, like, feeling so bad and guilty about myself because last week I took the kids to dinner, and we come out of the restaurant, and this woman comes with, like, three kids, one on her in her arms and another couple of kids following her, asking for money.
Uh-huh.
And my heart just hardened. I don't know why, because I always give money out.
Uh-huh.
And but I guess I felt like deep inside that it was kind of like a dirty, you know, way of doing things, like to bring your kids and stuff.
Yeah.
To beg for money.
Yeah.
It's sort of like a cheap way to, you know, to make you feel sorry for them. But then after that, I mean, since then, I've just been feeling so bad. I'm like, what the fuck? I could have given her $20. You know, I mean, it doesn't matter how she did it, but they probably need food.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, for whatever reason she did it, it takes a lot to take your kids and go beg for money, you know? Mm. So I've been feeling like shit because that's definitely not the way I am. And I don't know why my heart hardened, but at that point, at that minute, I just felt like I didn't want anything to do with her.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, you know what, Sam?
And the thing is also my kids know that I always give out money. I always give them money and say, "Here, go give them a dollar. Go give them a couple bucks and stuff." And this time I just started to justify myself. Mm-hmm. For not doing it. And I thought, what an asshole I am.
You're human. You know, it's a conflicting, it's a conflicting place to be because it is hard sometimes because you feel like, when does it stop? The need never stops. You feel like you can't fix it. You feel like you're being manipulated. You feel like,
feel like, you know, where do I start? Where do I end? You know?
Yeah, it's kind of the feeling of like, oh, is this lady really need this? Or, you know, when you do bring kids in it, or you feel like, is this legitimate? Or is this like, I understand how you feel. And I think that, you know, I think it's the fact that you're feeling this way now and your heart's kind of like, I mean, it's a good thing that you're looking back and going, oh, you know, in the future I can do X, Y, and Z.
Right.
You know, I mean, you're human and there's, I mean, who does it right all the time? You know what I mean? Who does it right? And you're human and it's like, I think maybe God put that I'm just saying hypothetically, maybe it was a situation that God will let you learn from and keep your heart soft. And I mean, I've done stuff where I look back and I've been like, man, why did I do that? Or why didn't I do that? You know what I mean? And I kind of wonder those moments, you know, oh, well, I'll just, you know, ask the Lord for forgiveness and move on and pray that my heart will stay soft and that God will give me opportunities to X, Y, and Z in the future. And I think that, you know, it's not a done deal. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I've had moments like that too, where it just like kind of singes you a bit and it stays with you.
Yeah, it does. You know, and you realize that, you know, I mean, if like sometimes, you know, when I get my car washed, for example, I give the guy, usually I give him $2, mm-hmm. you know, as a tip. And then I think to myself, well, what if I give him $3? You know, it would mean more to him, that dollar, than it would to me. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So why not? Sometimes I think we just harden our hearts for no reason, you know, other than just because we're used to it or something, you know. But then I start questioning this and I go, you know what, I'll give him $5. I'll give him $10. You know, I'll give him $20 mm-hmm. to a homeless guy or something, you know, so.
Well, you know, they say.
So I made up for it the other day. I'm sorry. I went into the store and there was this Salvation Army guy. So I give him some money.
Yeah.
And so I always do. I mean, it's hard for me to walk by them and ignore them, you know.
Yeah. Well, I think it's good to be conflicted over it. And I think it's good to
have a heart that's sensitive to where you're like, you know, you don't know where the outcome's going to be. You may not be fixing the problem, but it's not just good for them. It's good for us to let go and to give.
Yeah.
And they say psychologically too, you know, that the effects of giving versus receiving, when you give, the feeling and the euphoria or whatever you want to call it, it actually stays longer.
Yeah, it's a better feeling.
The residual, the actual residual. And I don't mean to just be selfish driven, like I want to feel good, so I'm going to give. But it's I think the way God designs giving is like there's a part of it that we have to sacrifice in the moment, which is ourself and our understanding and our wanting to control the situation. But then when we let go, we realize it's so much more rewarding for everybody. And
right.
And I think that, you know, it's something that, and it's a struggle. I mean, it's a struggle. I think by nature, I mean, we're, you know, by our fallen nature as humans, we naturally think about survival of the fittest, ourselves and,
right.
you know, us. But we don't, it's not the best place or the best way to live. And when we let go, I think there's a different kind of life that
right.
that enters, you know,
yeah.
when you give. I mean, I've been in situations where, you know, I have a different belief system. So I believe that even if you give out of what you have or give out of what you don't have, it's all in God's hands. Like
right.
ultimately you're going to be taken care of. Don't worry about it.
Right.
And I've had people, honestly, I mean, I've been in situations where, people didn't know my circumstance and mm-hmm. I didn't tell them or whatever, but like somebody paid for something and they didn't know that like
right.
them paying for that like was huge.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they didn't know. I didn't tell them and, I didn't ask, you know what I mean? But I took that as like, thank you God so much.
Yeah.
I've been in situations where, you know, where like somebody picked up the bill for something and they didn't know, they didn't know my circumstance. And I was inside like, thank you God, thank you God, thank you God.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I just think that like, you know, there's probably many times that maybe you're doing that for somebody, you don't realize it.
Yeah.
That it's like the last.
You know, I was at a workshop once, and what we did is we did some exercises. So the first exercise is, you know, you have a group of people, and let's say you give them a ball, and everybody, whoever ends up with a ball at the end wins, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you can imagine how much commotion there is and how much, like, like infighting there is, you know, because everybody's trying to get the ball. And then they changed the game and they said whoever stuck with the ball at the end loses. So then everybody's trying to give it away and it becomes the most fun game you've ever played. So it shows you the difference between receiving and giving.
Yeah.
You know, and that was a cool thing. At any rate, we're running out of time here, so or overtime already. So, Kira, enjoy yourself.
Yeah, you too, Sam.
Have a good day. And everybody, thank you so much for listening to us. We'll be back here tomorrow on Friday.
You have been listening to Sam and Kara in the Morning, which airs every weekday from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time and originates from the Los Angeles Talk Radio Studios. For questions regarding the show or to learn more about sponsorship opportunities, please direct all correspondents to info@latalkradio.com. Sam and Kara in the Morning is a production of LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.